Before we get going, I've got my type 3 review requirements that I need to read real fast here. Do our best to get this completed as quickly as possible. I've got a family obligation I need to be at around 4:45, so we'll do our best. Type 3 review requirements include public testimony is welcome and encouraged, but can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations, which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. Staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. Repetition of points made by other citizens' previous public testimony is strongly discouraged. Prior to close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. Such a request is made. The commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficiently specific to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under ORS 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to city council within 14 days of the decision. The decision is not appealed. It must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions must be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and their mailing address for the record before speaking. The following procedures will be used for the hearing of each Type 3 review. Number one, staff will show the photos and plans to the site and surrounding area. Number two, staff will present a report. Staff report will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and recommendation on the request. Applicant will be given an opportunity to present to the commission. Number four, public testimony will be received first in support of the proposal and then in opposition to the proposal. The chair has the option of imposing a 2 to 5 minute time limit for each member of the public to speak. We ask that only one representative of an organization speak on its behalf. Number five, public testimony will be closed. Number six, applicant may request additional time for rebuttal of public testimony. Chair may impose time limit for such rebuttal in its discretion. Number seven, if any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open for 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence and 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. Number eight, after the record is closed to all parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. Number nine, after the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, that motion will fail. Number 10, if the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. The first case, or the Type 3 case that we'll now be hearing, is LU 16-153002 for the AD Pearl East building, and it is located at Northwest 13th and Northwest Gleason Street. Do any commission members have ex parte contacts to disclose?
No.
Do any commission members have a conflict of interest to declare?
No.
Okay, so today we have Mike Gushard, who will be doing the staff presentation for BDS. Thank you.
Hello, I'm the Parks Commission. So before I get started, I passed out a petition to everyone that was submitted by Mr. John Hollister. I think he'll be one of the testifiers today. Just wanted to point that out and explain what it was. So the first part of this is going to be a recap of the December 19th hearing that we had. A lot of the information will be the same, but I knew we had new commissioners, Commissioner Mahoney, so I thought I'd throw that in. So I'll just blow through that really fast, and then we'll get to the conditions that have changed. So the code context and the site, as Commissioner Renzetta said, it's at Northwest 13th and Gleason. It's in the employment zone, and it has a design review overlay. It has historic resource protection because it is in the Northwest 13th Historic District. The floor area ratio, there's a 6-to-1 max, but you with bonuses, you can get up to a 9-to-1 max, and there is a 100-foot height limit. Site hasn't changed since December 19th, still sloping west to east. That comes into play later. Northwest Gleason is a major transit street and traffic street. That comes in with the adjustments, which we'll talk about. And major street frontage is, of course, Northwest Gleason and Northwest 13th. The approval criteria are the Northwest 13th Avenue Historic District Design Guidelines and the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. Because the applicant has requested a modification of ground windows, we'll also look at the modification criteria. And because there are two adjustments requested, we'll look at the adjustment approval criteria. Quick overview of the project. 96 feet tall, 8.16 to 1 because of a bike room bonus. The adjustments that were requested are to allow parking access on Northwest Gleason because it is a transit and traffic street, and also to reduce the number of loading spaces from 2 to 0. Exterior materials, this is one of the things that's different from the last presentation. You can see the little space there where I deleted CMU, which was in the last presentation. Brick, aluminum windows, metal canopies, and a loading dock feature. This gives you an idea of the context of the district. And then this is the sort of the resources that make the district significant, some of them at least. And then I noted the brick from various buildings. So design issues that we had in the last report and at the last presentation, the end wall conditions were the major sticking point. The staff felt and the commission agreed that the use of CMU, which was in the previous proposal, didn't meet the C2 promote quality and permanence in development. And design for coherency, the use of a couple different materials, board form concrete on the end walls. The applicant has addressed this by switching to a larger structural brick, as we'll see. Actually, I have a sample in the back. I'll run and get that. In the previous hearing, there was a discussion and a condition accepted about the distressed brick. That was mitigated with conditions that continues. One of the other changes is that PBOT now supports both of the adjustments that were up in the air the last time we had a hearing about this. So this is the December 19th version. We had the issue with design for coherency because of the use of CMU in the board form. And promoting quality and permanence in development because of the use of CMU. The applicant has chosen a 12-inch structural brick and then is using soldier courses to mark the floors. Staff felt like this addressed those issues. The board form volumes are still there, marking the vertical circulation. Staff felt there was a better contrast with the brick in the board form than with the CMU in the board form. Nothing's changed about the distressed brick. It's still included. And the staff report that I sent up to you still includes a condition that says no more than 15% of the bricks used to clad the building will be the dark clinker or distress brick, and that they'll be those that are there will be spread across the facades evenly. Modifications, again, this is sort of a refresher. Nothing's changed here. The modification is for ground floor windows is driven by the ground floor being raised to allow for the loading dock. And the loading dock being sort of key to the building's compatibility with the historic district that raises the ground floor and is mitigated by the decorative screens there. Adjustments, like I said, PBOT now has an addendum to their previous memo on this in support of both of the adjustments, given revisions the applicant made to their report to PBOT, the first to allow parking access on Northwest Gleason, and other to limit or to have zero loading zones instead of two loading spaces. We added a new design commission or design condition E in your report. Staff notice Hillary was the staff. She's evil-eyed. The where the arrow there wasn't called out as a material. In the renderings, it's all brick coming back. So just to ensure that condition, we added a condition that the windowsill return shall be clad in brick as indicated in the renderings. I think the applicant has an explanation for that. So summary, I'm going to like actually skip past the second one and then come back to it. There's the conditions of approval. The staff report recommends approval with the conditions that were previously there for the brick. B and C, no more than 15% of the bricks will be distressed, and those bricks will be evenly distributed. Jumping down to the sill condition, I think that's sort of easy to understand. We saw the drawing there. A new condition that we've added, this project came in under the 2014 stormwater manual. Its permit may or may not be under the 2016 stormwater manual. There's a discussion that BES is having with the city attorney about where this landed in that process. So we've added a condition ahead of that. This is if there are major exterior design changes that occur because of that, that'll go through another review to make sure that it meets what the commission approved. My understanding is the changes, if there were changes, it would be more vegetation on the roof. We have a lot line to lot line building, and in the district we can't really allow lot side planters that kind of would not jive with the historic district. Well, the other option would be further study to ensure that infiltration could happen within the building envelope, or if they continue to go with the 2014 stormwater manual, then there would be no change. So the options that we have before you guys are to accept the staff report as written and approve the proposal, accept the staff report and with additional or revised conditions other than the ones that I've suggested to you, or reject the staff report and ask the applicant to return with revision. With that, I am done.
Okay. Any questions for staff?
I have one quick question. The grills, the air or the ground level return grill or exterior grills?
These guys, yeah.
So are those, I didn't see those in our package. Were those part of your review or?
They were, yeah.
Okay.
I think we were going off that detail. And do you guys have a detail of that in your presentation?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, okay, I'll just wait for that. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mike? Okay. None, then we can hear from the applicant.
Paul Kissling, I'm Principal of Architecture with McKinsey. Our address is 1515 Southeast Water Avenue, 97214. Appreciate presenting again in front of the commission. Just want to remind everybody we'd started with a very early assistance meeting. We had come in for a DAR and one other hearing, and so this is our third hearing. We've had support from the AIA Historic Committee as well as the Neighborhood Association. So I think we've tried very hard to meet all the guidelines and requirements. Certainly the CMU was the owner found it in their budget to meet the criteria. As we've stressed, those are end walls that will someday be covered up. So, and we have had to design them so we could, if need be able to erect them from our own side. So CMU was originally proposed as a structural material we could erect without going over the property line. The structural brick allows us to do the same thing. It's a third smaller than the CMU and a third larger than the face brick. But we've worked with the material supplier to come up with a blend, although all the colors are not exactly the same, but a blend that is in very much harmony with our face brick minus the accent bricks. So it will have a very similar appeal in both directions from the face as well as looking from a distance on the side. And so we'll just walk through this for the benefit. We'd already kind of looked at the site. Did want to point out that there is actually a height bonus available to take the building to 145 feet, which the owner did not wish to do, as well as we know the district is very sensitive to heights over the building and the commission. And we have responded to that with a six-story building on the frontage line. to well less than 100 feet with an active roof that's well set back from the lot lines on the historic sides. Obviously, the context of the district, as Mike put it pretty well, we're the kind of missing tooth in the landscape district, the landmarks district, the last available developable lot currently that isn't already have a building on it. Kind of, you know, the overall heights of the districts vary. We are within 100 feet zoning requirement as a base zone, and we are under that. Just some of the context in the area as well as within the district. One of the things that drove the design, obviously, was the 13th Avenue side. Given that the loading docks are a very important element, we've dealt with that up and down the street. Recently just finished the Design Within Reach project down on Kearney. Ground floor retail is anticipated. We're doing a kind of a mirroring dock to the Keene side building with a handicap ramp up from the corner as the grade falls to the north. Ground floor retail and a building lobby is anticipated at the ground floor. Creative office above. We have an obligation to continue to keep the same amount of parking that's currently on the site. It will obviously be a private garage administered by the building owners. It will probably be available for after-hour parking, given the need to pay for parking when you dig a big hole in the ground. But we're not, you know, that'll be an operational issue. Then the typical floors on your left, and then the active roof on the right. We have a mechanical well that sits behind that in the far corner away from the street, and it's shielded by the walls of the base height. And then the upstairs is largely eco-roof and a paved area. As far as the BES issue, we feel we're under the 2014 stormwater code based on the when we came in for review. And so we're still clarifying that with BES. We obviously cannot, in the guidelines of the district, put planters at the ground floor level. It isn't in keeping with the historic district. We will be excavating down to the Troutdale Formation, which is about 28 feet down, and the percolation into the Troutdale is extremely good. So we feel like we will be able to solve BES's problems. And that kind of shows here, we're going fairly deeply into the ground, 2.5 levels to get our 46 parking stalls that were required by the property to maintain. Obviously, we've been, for most of you, been here before. It's a predominantly red brick blend. It has the owner has a very strong touch with old brick, and he's very concerned to make it look like the building had always been there. And that was our charge from the design side, and we've really worked hard to fit the building into planning's desires as well as the owner's. And so we have a very muscular brick frame, precast sills. It's a clarification that I've sent Mike that basically the place you're pointing to is a jamb, not a sill. And the detail is cut at one of those deeper set windows where the brick return is a little shallower. So that's why it's not as fully developed as the rendering. The brick will return before the inset of the three windows in rhythm. So the brick will be much deeper at that jamb than it is at the other jambs. The limitation there is the fact that the brick can only return to the structural support of the windows. And at that point, the window system starts. So despite the way the rendering looks, there is a little bit of a dark flashing around the window system. So we really would like to have that condition removed because of detail, or we can collaborate on what it really should say. And this kind of outlines sort of our design process. We started with a very simple brick expression and kind of worked our way through until we kind of developed where we're at today, trying to create a very open ground floor with floor-to-ceiling glass, and we are stuck with the problem that the Gleason side does slope over 7 feet across our frontage. So we really prioritized the dock side, and that was the adjustment we asked for the glazing, because we can't do both. It will still be very open. It's anticipated to be ground floor retail. So as you walk by, you will still have a very good view of the retail on that level. Some detailed elevations that kind of give all the heights and the coursing lines. Typically, we're trying for a base, middle, and top expression with a kind of heavy cornice line around the last level, the sixth floor, and then a setback to the penthouse and the active roof. We revised the after the last meeting to get rid of the CMU, and we'd found a structural brick solution that could work for us. We are still pursuing the two options. Option two still requires some cooperation from our neighbors to the north if they would wish to be cooperative, but we have two options. We'll either turn with the face brick and then go to structural brick, and we are exposing a board form concrete shear core, which sits back slightly from the expression of the brick at the property line on that facade. And we additionally like the board form here because it basically creates a little bit of a space between the structural brick and the face brick as you come up what is probably the most visible side coming up Gleason. And so that's kind of our philosophy there. We've gotten a lot of response from both the neighborhood and the AIA that they did not want to see an entirely blank wall. So within the context of an opaque wall, we've tried to break it down a little bit so it's not a huge monolith of scale. And on the clearly, this is the most important facade on the 13th. We'll have a rail. We've worked with PGE to resolve some routing of their cables and vault issues. So we have approval of an encroachment permit from PBOT as well for the garage underground, as well as the dock on top of some PGE improvements that we'll be working with them to resolve during construction. And then as we had added the canopy the last time to try and bring down the scale a little bit of the entry door, it's a vertical lift door. It also serves to provide ventilation for the garage and the generator that's required for high-rise construction that's back behind it. The ornamental grills that you kind of mentioned, they're sort of a design process still. You know, they will be decorative grills that are in harmony with the gate as we kind of work through the details of that. And this just kind of breaks down the expression and dimensions. This was the original kind of concept design where we started from, working with the owner, and kind of developed from there. And then some detailed sections through the area. And some of the details of the facade. Kind of gives you a feeling for the scale from the street. As you can see, the penthouse is largely well back from view. You will always perceive the building in the locality as a six-story building on the two important street sides of Gleason and 13th. This gives you an idea of the context coming up Gleason, and again, kind of the change from face brick to the structural brick separated by the board form concrete, which is also serves as the base of the building on the Gleason side. So we feel like that's kind of carrying the two materials together and kind of breaking up that larger wall. And this, you know, the view is probably several blocks down the street, and as you get right up on the corner, and then the building will kind of disappear behind the neighborhood two-story building as we go up the street. This kind of shows you the changes we've made to the original proposal for the entry, which was a very simple door, and then we've kind of added some more detail and try to de-emphasize the door to your right in the right option. Where we're currently at is an exit door out of the stair core, so it's really not something we want to call a great deal of attention to. And then these are vertical lift doors and some context that we're going to be working to fit with our door design. The door is a custom-built door for the particular project. It's built by a company locally by the name of Davis Door that does these vertical lift doors. They are all over the Pearl and downtown Portland as well. Very high-quality door. And this kind of gives you a street view as you walk up along Gleason with the door, the canopy, board form concrete, the brick veneer, and the grills and so forth. And this gives you Basically, the highest part of the roof is all green roof. There's a little bit of green roof on the plaza line as well. The mechanical well is back behind all that stuff in the far corner. And again, the detailing, we've actually revised the penthouse detailing at the request of the owner as well as the planners, that it become a little more like the rest of the building. It had originally been more contemporary in expression. So in response to comments, we had revised that detailing as well. And that just gives you kind of an idea of what's up on the roof. And again, it's a little more open expression because it's kind of the kind of showpiece space. It'll be more of an inside-outside use of space. And then the mechanical equipment is back behind the well. And then, of course, green roof material on the two locations shown. And then the roof deck will probably be basically, we'll have furniture on it as well, nothing visible from the street. And these are some of the implications. And this was kind of some distance views of how the building will kind of look within the neighboring context of try to do some photo overlays of how the building will mass in its current surroundings. Did emphasize the fact that the other blocks around us, with the exception of the confectionery lofts, which is a historic building, are still available to develop if the owners of those properties so choose. And then we did some shadowing studies in the winter. We don't have a huge effect on everybody, but obviously in the summer we'll be taller and shadowing the buildings around us. And then we kind of close with a look down the 13th that we kind of feel represents the base option and kind of represents a building that looks like it may have been there for a long time, which was our stated goal from both our client as well as trying to satisfy the guidelines of the district and the city. And it's kind of where we're at. So if any questions?
Any questions for the applicant?
Did you bring a sample of the structural brick?
It's in the, I believe, Mike. No, sorry. Yeah. Oh. I don't know if you have the other sample down here, Mike.
Go, Matthew.
The face brick sample?
Oh, yeah. It's
yeah.
Back over there somewhere.
Is that it?
So as we stated, the brick is a little bigger.
Yeah.
It's a blend very similar to the face brick blend. It is a predominantly red brick, composed of three red bricks as well. The main facade is composed of very similar red bricks, and some of them are exactly the same, but not all the colors are available in face versus structural. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we want to take a quick minute to take a look at those materials? Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
The other thing I'd emphasize with the 15%, you won't see near as much of the accent colors. In the sample, we needed to give those to you so you could kind of see them, but they're only 15% of the facade, and it's probably about 30% of that sample. So that's one of the conditions that we agreed to with planning.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant?
I have a question.
Cool, you've got a question.
Can you clarify your the parking intent? I heard you say that you might open it up for after-hours parking. I just want to be clear because would be visitor parking, and that's subject to a Central City parking review, which you can do outside of this.
Yeah,
process.
That would be, that's an operational thing. So right now it's a private garage. I would assume we anticipate the owner will use it mainly for monthly parking, but after hours, parking is a premium down in the Pearl, so
yeah.
We would assume they would make it available either for restaurant valet or some kind of use after hours. But
okay.
But that's not proposed.
Yeah, we're not proposing anything.
I just want to be clear that that would
require
Central City
a different review.
Parking review.
Okay. Yep. So noted.
Okay. And just to be clear, the proposal for the north elevation that kind of hinges on the agreement with the north neighbor. Mm-hmm. That's still in process? Or?
Well, we've reached out to them. There's seven neighbors who control the confectionery lofts. It is a condominium, both retail and housing, so they would have to agree to it. We'd be subject to a building code appeal, and they would have to agree to kind of a no-build easement. They set back from us about 20 feet. So within the building code, it would work to have the openings there and the expression that we show in option two, but it's subject to their approval and collaboration. But we wanted to put it out there to try and – we had another version of this shown with the windows and the kind of similar detailing returning around that corner, which we feel enhanced the building, but we certainly don't want to tread on our neighbors if they don't wish us to. So there was positive and negatives.
Thank you.
But we did want to reserve the option should it be available.
Would you also, could you clarify the plane differences both in the north elevation mm-hmm. and in the, what is this, the east elevation?
Right.
You know, it looks like the board formed area is set back a little bit.
Yeah, basically we are going down alongside our property lines with shoring, and so it sets the basement wall approximately 2 feet back. The shear walls that form the shear core are concrete that are part of that, so they sit back about 2 feet from the property line where the brick will sit out as close to the property line as is feasible to get it. We're showing it pretty close. On the east, it needs to be about 6 inches away from the adjacent property to for seismic reasons, as well as the on the north side as well, where there is a building. So those brick planes will have to sit back to allow the movement between the two buildings in a seismic event. So the brick can't be right to the property line, but mm-hmm. the concrete is forced to be about 2 feet back. And then we like that reveal in terms of kind of breaking up the mass of the wall as well. It's a little hard to show in the renderings, but yeah, it's about really about 18 inches back maybe. So the brick will return to the concrete wall. So it'll
and would that include the soldier courses returning
yeah,
as well?
Absolutely. Okay.
Another thing I did want a little more mm-hmm. clarification on was staff had included a condition about a brick sill.
Yeah.
And you had discussed that a little bit as being maybe not the right condition that we were looking at. Could you clarify that
sure.
further?
Yeah, oops. So in this particular detail, yeah, we got a red pointer here. So this is the window system, and this is the point of the, because we're brick veneer and not truly masonry brick, the brick can only return to the face of there. So this is probably shown a little further than it should be, so we're fine with talking about the condition, but there will be a point where the window system picks up and it can't go out. We need to cover this lap between, this is rigid insulation on the outside of the wall, these are the structural studs, so the brick will return to that plane. And then we'll need to cover that seam, if you will, where the brick veneer comes over there. So it's actually a jam and not the sill. This is the sill, mm-hmm. which is precast, and that's consistent on the building. The brick jams return as close as we can get them to the window system within the context of the construction. So we don't intend not to return. This detail is probably shown a little, the metal's out a little too far. So we don't have a problem working with staff to revise those particularly. And then on the elevations, So in rhythm, these windows don't have as big a return because they're deep set to start with. So these jams will have a much deeper jam. That detail is kind of generically cut through one of these windows. So it's, at the time we submit these, we're in design still, so we try to represent everything we can at very schematic level. So, but we can correct that with staff and work out the condition.
Okay.
Just to confirm, too, the eco roofs are kind of close right to the edge of the roof, and I just wanted to confirm that you wouldn't have vegetation that would be growing up to the point where it would be visible from the street?
No, typically the eco roofs are usually a very low growth sedum type of thing. So there's 4 to 6 inches of soil, which is really almost contains rock because you don't want a lot of organic material to make the sedums rot.
Right.
So typically we've got a 4-foot parapet on the part where you walk, where we have a little bit of eco roof up there. Let's see. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can kind of see we have some areas of eco roof on the plaza, and then this whole roof area, whatever we can get in there, is going to be eco roof.
Okay.
And we do have a little bit of area to, you know, help if that helps the staff get a little bit happier on BES, but we have a plan to deal with the water, so.
Okay.
I listened to the tape of the previous hearing, and there was some discussion around this, but I would like to ask for some clarification on the height determination.
Yeah, basically, the base zone is 100 feet, and all of the building is within 100 feet. There's the closest thing to the 100 feet is this little elevator pop-up back here, but everywhere else we're below, and we're about 87 feet, I believe, to this front parapet. I don't have the, I'd have to look at the, you might have it right in front of you so you could tell me what it says. But it's.
It says 86 from the first from floor to the.
Yeah, that the parapet line right there. And the top of the roof is 96, and there's a little bit more where the elevator comes up. But we still are below the 100 feet. And then we're 86.4 to the top of the parapet here.
So
and the base elevation of the zone is 100 feet.
Right. And then so the datum from where the height is taken from, it looks like it's taken from the
first floor
mm-hmm. versus the site. It's not an average of the site slope.
No, it's taken from the highest adjacent grade, which is essentially the loading dock, because the loading dock becomes the new sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of a unique situation.
Yeah.
But that is what we consider the highest adjacent grade.
Okay.
And that was clarified in the last hearing as well. And as we said, we've started at early assistance. And been to DAR once before to the commission. So this is our third appearance, and we're happy to be here, but love to get it approved and move along. Just, you know, we had originally planned on starting construction in October of last year. So, and we had time to do it typically, but it's taken a while to work through some of the items. So the owner's been very cooperative to try and get the meet the criteria. He's never backed away from that. And even at some cost. So I think it's, you know, it's a great project. We're really enthused to be part of it.
Okay.
And we think it'll really fit in well with the district.
Okay. Thank you. So the next part is public testimony. And I have 5 members of the public who are in opposition to the proposal. Does everyone also want to testify to all 5 of the folks? All right, well, I'll call up, I guess, the first two, John Hollister and John Marshall. Would you like to come up and testify?
Paul, how do you do this without being nervous?
What's that?
How do you do this without being nervous?
Oh.
Okay. Everyone's in their underwear, so is that the way they do it here?
Yeah.
Okay, my name is John Hollister, and I live at 526 Northwest 13th Avenue. And I'm going to kind of try to read this thing through raised heart rate. I started off with a public awareness campaign, and in less than a day's work of time, I talked to over 150 people, and 100 of them signed a petition that said the following. I just want to read this out for the record. A new office building is proposed on the northeast corner of Northwest Gleason and 13th Avenue. The location is currently a street-level parking lot. This is the last buildable lot within the boundary of the Northwest 13th Avenue District. To preserve the integrity and character of the special neighborhood, the historic district's development guidelines stress that heights be compatible with adjacent buildings. The proposed building would be 96 feet high and would be the tallest building in the historic district. To put this in perspective, the average building height in historic district is around 50 feet. Only two buildings built about 100 years ago are over 75 feet. We are hoping to have the height of the proposed building reduced to better fit into the neighborhood. Please sign below if you agree it is too tall as planned. Interestingly enough, of all the people I talked to, only three people were even aware of the project. And so what I want to do through my efforts is I want to know that I am not the only one that has a concern with the building height. And I've actually been going to the Pearl District Neighborhood Associations, and where Paul was saying that you have approval from them. Actually, they are in the process of writing a letter. They approve of the overall project and design, but they do have concerns about the height. And so that letter should be, actually, I'm meeting with Patty Gardner on March 6th and might get more information on it. Before, I've got a chart in here. Before I get to the chart with compatible buildings, and actually I'm switching over to John Marshall now. Before I get to the compatible building heights chart that Peter Major at the AIA and chair of the Historic Resources Committee told me to create and the corresponding criteria approval, I want to just briefly talk about what I had heard and what I understood from prior business city meetings. Okay. At the very first meeting, and I'm glad that Tim is here because I showed it to him to say, I'm going to quote you on saying something. Did I get the quote right? And on 11/19/15, Tim informed the applicant they would probably get a maximum of 75 feet for the building height. When the applicant mentioned they qualify for over 100 feet with city zoning and FARs, Tim went on to say that the Northwest 13th Street Historic District design overlay would be considered, and zoning heights are not a given in historic districts. Tim went on in 119 to write his land use planner response to say the total height of the buildings should be compatible with existing buildings in this nationally recognized historic district. While 100-foot bonus heights plus bonus heights are encouraged by the central city plan, the Northwest Avenue Historic District design specifically encourages buildings of similar heights and bulk. And he had attachments of what the heights of the buildings were. I've gone through, and I'll show you in my chart, Tim did a good job of getting the heights. He had a couple differences, though, that were being compared. Is there was one building that was listed on his sheet as 122 feet. It was actually 58 feet. And another one that was listed 120 was actually 89 feet. So I went to that first meeting, and then when I came to this first DIR meeting, Tim was proposing 100 feet, and I went up to him before the meeting and said, Tim, I thought we talked about 75. He says, well, no, this is where you go talk about that if you have a problem. Well, I wasn't prepared. I've listened to the tape too. And I was very, very flustered. I was kind of bumbling along, and because I was totally taken by surprise. My wife then spoke and asked specifically if we would have another time to talk about this, and was assured that we would. And Tim gave a review of the process, and I felt really good about that. I came to the first land use meeting, did a lot of research, had all of the different things going on, and about the average heights and things like that. And what happened, and I know you guys got a lot of things going on, I didn't feel heard, and two comments were made, and one was, I thought we decided that last meeting, and the public needs to understand that Portland is a growing city. And the and we are a growing city. We got tons of growth, but the height and growth is not a primary concern of a historic district. It is integrity of the historic district. So now I got my chart, and you guys got it here, and I don't. I'm going to get fancy someday and get like this, but I'm still learning. And here is the compatible height of all the buildings in the historic district, and this is Johnson all the way through Davis, and I have buildings listed on both sides of the street. This one is you can see that the average height of the building is 50 feet if you take all the heights. And here's the 75-foot mark. And there are only two buildings that are over, 1924, the Irving Streets, and 1910 with the Chown Pella. And even with current construction going on, it's even outside of the historic district, right here at Johnson, is in the city's appeal process, they said in respect as a step down to the historic district, we are going to honor, we're going to step down to 75 feet. That is on two buildings on both sides of the streets that they're going 75 feet. So this is kind of what my talk I was saying to people on the street. And I go, why would we approve a brand new building to be 96 feet? Now it's 96 feet from the top of the loading dock. If you're all like on the real ground, it's 100 feet. But why would we approve a building to be the new tallest building in here? Why don't we have something that's more respectful of the 75-foot level? So with that, I quickly go to the a comment that I saw is, even though the current historic district guidelines do not protect historic districts and reflect neighborhood interests, three paragraphs in those things clearly state height compatibility is paramount. And those statements are in the little packet that I gave you.
If you could just summarize.
Yeah. This is my summarization statement. And the good thing is, I don't think the other people showed up, so we're in good shape.
Okay.
One of the essential elements which defines the character of the Northwest 13th Avenue Historic District is the high degree of compatibility between its visual elements. The next one that says we encourage contemporary design, which this is, but it must be compatible with size. The added height is visually compatible with historic buildings. It clearly is not. It's just not, you know, depending on how we define that, it's just not. So the last thing I'll say is that what I didn't know, and I was kind of surprised that it went so quickly to approval, what I didn't know was what about this 2035 stuff that was going on and the proposal that Kirk took to them proposing that the historic district, the entire historic district has 75 feet. That was the proposal from the Landmark Commission. It was revised to, and with this thing, the staff rationale for revising it was, although the historic landmark recommends a 55-foot height in historic district, contributing historic buildings and testimony received from interesting parties, meaning property owners and lawyers for property owners, they were interested in having potentially seismic upgrades or necessitate rooftop additions or testimony receiving seismics, rooftop additions, or anything with mechanics was the rationale for increasing the height. That works good. That works good for, it was from Hoyt on, there's only two buildings this would apply to. One, two, three. And this building and this building, this new one, is owned by the same people. So really what we're talking about is that a decision is being made for this building to be high, not on the criteria that even the 2035 plan is going in. It is, that was for existing buildings. These other buildings don't care. I mean, they're not going to put anything on there that's going to hit the 75. It's just for this building and this building. And this is, by the way, you know, you think they got six people in modern confectionery? They got 85. Do you think 85 people are going to agree on putting anything on top? Probably not. So it's really these two people, which is the owners of this building. So I contend, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. I'm sorry, I got a little too much going there. Okay, so in conclusion, wrapping up, as Kurt asked me to do, I recommend that we reject the staff recommendation or modify it to have the additional condition of 75 feet. I am asking that the record be kept open until the 4:10 meeting of the commission. That will allow me to actually, if you're not able to modify that, I would request that you waive the $5,000 appeal price tag for me to take this to City Council, because I feel pretty good about City Council doing this. And that if you can't do that, to hold the record open until 4:10, that would allow me to meet with Patty Gardner on 3/6 to be able to get this letter so I can have the Neighborhood Association put this in so I can get rid of the $5,000. Or I'm also speaking to the City Council on 3/29 to ask them for that same thing if I can't get it from Patty Gardner. And the good thing, the reason why the 4:10 is not a problem is this really isn't very time sensitive, because I've heard from the building owners that this thing is going to be really built in any time soon. It might be several years before the building is built. So there we go. I'm done.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Does anyone have any questions for the member of the public? Okay. So I've got some additional names on the list. Thank you very much, John. We have Kaylee Baird and Corey Kempf. Are they here to testify? And then also Jillian Wysenek. Ah, okay. All right, no worries. Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Staff may.
So the record was requested to be held open. We can, the code says that the record can be requested to be held open for 7 days.
Okay.
And then after that, there is a 7-day
rebuttal period, right?
Yeah, response period. And then there's a 7-day rebuttal period after that the applicant has the choice to waive or not.
Okay.
We have hearings scheduled for March 13th and one in waiting for the 20th. So just in response to that last comment, we can hold the record open till March 6th for the first 7 days, and then to March 13th for the second days.
Okay.
And then I would suggest that we come back on March 20th for that.
Okay. Does that sound agreeable to everyone?
Okay. Can I ask for, so will the applicant have an opportunity to submit additional information about the proposal?
They can submit, yes.
My request would be that we get a lighting plan and specification for what the lighting fixtures are, and potentially something more on the decorative grills.
Okay. They'll have a chance to come back up. But anybody can submit comments
during that
until
time period.
We will wrap this up again at the end, but anybody could submit comments until the end of day, March 6th, which is typically 5:30 in the afternoon. And then anybody can submit a response to those comments until 5:30 on March 13th. And then the applicant has the opportunity to rebut any of those comments until we meet here again.
Okay.
On the 20th.
Okay. All right. So with that, I'm going to close public testimony, and we can offer up to the applicant if you'd like to rebut anything from the testimony.
Well, certainly we appreciate the public's comment. We have reached out twice to the Neighborhood Commission I have been in touch with Patty Gardner, and you know, since we're working on hearsay here, the last meeting that I met with her, she had no issue with the height. So if she's changed her position, that's possible. But we'd really pretty much like to push for approval this meeting. You know, we've started last year in January. We were trying to push to build this building in October of last year. We've been to the hearing now, DAR, and two hearings. We feel that we've really represented this project well. We've met the guidelines of both the historic district and the Central City. Notwithstanding, we'd be happy to work with staff to provide additional information on possible light fixtures. But, you know, at the point we are right now, that's a very down-in-the-weeds decision versus the whole building, and it'll come in with building permit for staff will review as well for compliance with the district. So it's there will be another review that goes through when we do this for building permit. We feel like, you know, the apparent height of the building is not 100 feet. You know, we've made that very strong case with planning staff. The building is only 86 feet from the street. It's one story higher than the building that is owned by the same owner across the street. He gave us clear direction to make this building look like it was always here. And I think you really get a feeling for that when you look at the building as it's put in the context. You know, down this street, that's coming up Gleason. We're like a perceived story higher than the building directly to the west of us. When we look the other direction, up 13th, the building is no taller than Chowpella to our south. You know, we are taller than some of our neighbors. We're about the same height as Irvington Loft, even at our tallest point. You know, we've made a real effort to make this building fit. And we understand, you know, at the time right now, this base zone is 100 feet. So we're not trying to get something through that requires an adjustment. You know, we feel like we've met every criteria to try and get this building to fit within the context. And, you know, not to sound too defensive, but, you know, it's been a lot of comment period. We've had a lot of review. Everybody's looked through this. I think we feel like the building really fits in the district well. And the buildings around the historic district are much taller. If you go to Pearl West, that's just outside the boundary on 14th, the new proposal for just up the street on 15th and Gleason is going to be 12 and 10 stories tall. You know, with admittedly it's not in the district, but it's going to be in the context of the district. And so similarly, the buildings in the Pearl that are around us. And as we pointed out, the buildings directly around us could be outside the district can be developed to 175 feet. So at some point we will be shorter than everybody around us. And that's probably coming over the next 10 or 15 years, given that Portland continues to grow. This property is very valuable in the Pearl, and as you've seen, it's being developed, and one- and two-story buildings are being torn down and replaced. So, you know, I just think, understand where we're going. We talked about this at the last hearing. I do believe that, you know, it is an employment district, so, you know, we can all, you know, to make the project feasible, we need all the square footage we're allowed to get in the base zone. We're within the height requirements, and we really feel like we've addressed all the concerns of the city, the commission, and the staff, and we'd very much like to push for approval at this time. And we do intend to build this building fairly soon. We cannot start until we're assured that we're going to have approval. Okay. So it, you know,
okay,
keeps money on the table and makes it harder to build the building the longer we drag this along. So
okay. And just to ask a question of staff in terms of our discretion for allowing additional testimony, I mean, that's mandatory. It's not something we have discretion over.
Yeah, correct? You cannot take a vote today because the record was requested to be held open.
Okay.
So no matter what, we have to hold the record open for 7 days, have a response to those comments for another 7 days, okay, and then a rebuttal.
Okay.
But we can definitely entertain your comments on the changes that you've seen.
Okay. Any additional questions for the applicant at this stage? Okay. Thank you again.
Sure.
Thanks. there's any other party who would like to submit additional evidence, like I said, we will hold the record open for another 21 days, essentially.
Officially, it is 7 days for new testimony, and then 7 days for responses to that testimony, and then 7 days for the applicant's rebuttal to all of that testimony.
All right, thank you for that clarification. So at this stage, what I'd like to do is close. I guess it's just for us to kind of go around the room and discuss what we're seeing in front of us, and to ask the applicant if we want any additional information or anything else that we think would aid in our ultimate decision. Now's the time to ask. I guess I'll just start off. Usually I'm a creature of precedent. I know that in some of our other historic districts where there's even greater pressure on individual lots that are either open for development or that are in particularly low settings where the average is actually a little bit lower or perhaps even more consistent in certain places within a particular historic district. This is a kind of a unique situation in that this is the only buildable lot left in the development in the historic district. And so I'm not as worried about this setting precedent for future cases unless people start again topping out their buildings with even more penthouses, but I don't necessarily see that as being a huge issue in this particular district. Second thing is that with that additional height that goes above what we had originally recommended, I think, in the comp plan, the 2035 letter that we had submitted, there's quite a bit of design mitigation that has gone into this building in terms of trying to make it more compatible with its surroundings. And I think that to me anyway, kind of went a long way towards convincing me that this was a little bit of a different case than in some of the other situations that we've seen infill development. So I'd throw that out there initially.
I'm in the same camp as Kirk. I mean, I feel like we've spent a fair amount of time on this building, and we've seen a lot of our issues be resolved, and I'm in a good place with this. So,
yeah, I would agree with you, Commissioner Ranzetta. I think that we really do need to judge each project that comes before us on the merits of its design and its immediate context. And that includes materials, it includes fenestration patterns. Yes, this is definitely pushing the envelope for me in terms of height in this district, but I am convinced that this will not look out of place and will still respect the character of the district at the height proposed. I do want to acknowledge that the gentleman who came to testify and really took the time to make a chart, I hear those concerns, I really do, and I think that those concerns, if we had heard them from the neighborhood association in a timely way, we might have had another conversation, but I, for one, feel like this is a little bit late and, not coming from the neighborhood association. In other words, sort of a group of people who really live in this district. And I'm going to have to say that we've seen this enough and that I'm comfortable with the height.
Since I'm new to the project, I will concur with Commissioner Miner and to everything the commission's kind of decided up to this point. I think the structural brick is more appropriate than the CMU, and then I'll weigh in on the condition regarding the brick. jam. I think the applicant satisfactorily described the reasoning for the detail, so I don't think that condition is a factor going forward. Thanks.
Okay.
I agree as well. I think they've responded to the issues we had at our last DAR. I brought up the lighting issue and I brought up the metal grill issue, I think in part to be consistent with what we've asked other applicants to do, that we really shouldn't just kind of let that be whatever it is. And it only came to my attention in looking at one of the renderings, I think it's B37. There's a very residential sort of light fixture shown there, and it made me think, you know, what are the lighting fixtures? The canopy itself looks like it has more industrial type fixtures, and I would think that would be more consistent. It's probably what their intent is. Since they have a little extra time, maybe they'd be willing to submit some more specifics on the lights and at least the direction. I'm on those grills because I think the laser cut look may not be the look of the building in terms of some of the examples they showed, I think, are more appropriate. Anyway, again, it's not to pick on them, but to be consistent with what we've asked other applicants to provide. It's just to round out the package. So that'd be my only issue.
Okay. Are other commissioners in agreement in terms of the reveal, in terms of the explanation that the applicant provided?
I understood the reason, but I'm not feeling comfortable that we have that detail in the packet. So I guess I would say, since we do have a request for some more time, I would request that we see that detail just as a matter of, you know, completing a normal package of details that we would request from anybody.
Right, and that would facilitate, I think, our ultimate decision, and that we would reduce the number of conditions that would be placed on the decision.
So. Good point.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. So I guess, do you guys have enough information to get back with the applicant? And
yeah.
Okay.
And so, not to speak for Mike, but yeah. And I just want to be clear again about the next steps from here. And Tim suggested I change the time of day from 5:30 to 4:30 because the fifth floor reception desk closes at 5. So first comment period would end at 4:30 p.m. on March 6th. The response period, which is the second set of 7 days, would end at 4:30 on March 13th. And then we would come back here for a final vote on March 20th.
Okay.
Which I believe all of you said that you could attend that day.
Okay. Would it, just from a question of procedure, and this is probably an uncommon request, but given kind of the things that we've discussed, is it typical for the commission to ask the member of the public who had requested to keep the record open if they would like to rescind that? Or what is that?
Legally, I don't know that that's an option.
Okay. They've asked for it and we'll give it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Can I just clarify one thing? So there has been no response from the neighborhood association on this project?
There was a response to the DAR, but I haven't received a response from the LU application. No.
Okay.
And the DAR, if you remember, that was some time ago.
That was some time ago. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I was expecting, I just assumed that I would get one.
Okay. All right. Okay, I think that wraps this particular case up.
So I have an announcement to make.
Okay.
Our next item, EA 16262033DA, the applicant chose to postpone that.
Oh, okay.
That happened about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
What?
So on March, that will be on March 20th. Everyone in the public, I apologize for the inconvenience.
Okay. And that was, just to clarify, that was a DAR, correct?
That's a DAR, and, you know, the return of this case, I would expect, I mean, I don't want to make assumptions, but the time frame will be probably fairly short, so
okay.
Why don't you guys arrive at 1:30 for the DAR on March 20th?
Okay. All right. Okay, so that leaves us coming back to the first item.